Well, I mentioned that this area is really coming home for me. I've, in fact, lived in Kansas my whole life, other than being away to study a bit. And when people are impressed with that, I say, well, actually, my family got to Leavenworth in 1854, before Kansas was a state and before Leavenworth was even really a city, and kind of helped found Leavenworth, the first city in Kansas. So we've been here a long time. You know, I can go back on the census records from the 1860s and see, yeah, there's my great-great-grandparents' farm. And then you look at the next entry, yep, that's his brother. And you just go down the list of the plots, and there's all my family. So it's nice to have some rootedness and some history. But one of the things that you also get to experience when you're from Kansas is we do get all four seasons, although it seems like winter and summer seem to be somewhat disproportionately long compared to our fall and our spring. But I thought about that today when we're reading in our first reading. It actually says that there's this tree that enjoys no change of season, and that's a bad thing. It's saying how terrible it is to be this tree that enjoys no change of season. And I thought about that because, I mean, okay, there are times where it's nice to be in Florida. This might be one of those times. Actually, being in Florida might not be so bad. But I actually feel sorry for those people in Florida that it's just nice all the time, or Southern California or something. Because there is a sense in which we in Kansas, we get to know the beauty of the change of seasons and how there's more than just pleasant days all the time. We need to have a night like last night and a morning like this where there's ice everywhere and snow everywhere. And, you know, we even learn to see how there's definitely a certain beauty in even all the snow and the ice. And I love taking pictures. So, obviously I was going to throw my camera in the car if I get to drive around Leavenworth County a bit and the snow and just beautiful images of the trees and everything. But I think part of the reason why we're able to appreciate all four of the change of seasons is because life, I think, sometimes is best known in contrast like that. Why is it that we love the spring so much? Well, because it comes after a bunch of ice and snow like this. And we're like, praise God for the spring. The snow has melted and like, gosh, spring is wonderful. And then a week later, oh my gosh, summer's here. What happened to spring? And fall is my favorite season, but it often seems like, oh good, there's a chill in the air. Finally, summer's over. There's snow there. What is that doing there? So you're in Kansas, we know this stuff. But how beautiful it is, though, that sometimes it is the changes and the contrast that really give us a chance to appreciate the difference, the variety. I thought about that in connection with our readings today, that life is really like that too. We are obviously default able to react when things are going bad to say, woe is us. You know, things are difficult. Maybe, you know, we never appreciate our health so much as when it fails and we have some problem that we have to keep going to the doctor for, or, you know, some little thing. I mean, if you stub your toe, all of a sudden your whole life is ruined. You know, it's amazing how maybe we don't appreciate our health until it's gone. Or maybe, you know, our relationships, we just take that for granted that, yeah, the friends and family we have will just always be there until they're not. And then we really maybe regret that we didn't take advantage of the time we had. Or, you know, we lose a job. Or why are my kids struggling? Or my relative is sick. Or my kid's sick. Or my marriage is struggling. And, you know, there's a lot of hurt and brokenness in the world, and our default reaction, and I'm not saying this is wrong, is to say, this is awful. And our prayer to God during those times might be, Lord, take this away. Help my spouse find another job. We're going to fail. We're going to lose our house or our farm. And, you know, we need help, God. You know, save us. We are perishing, as the apostles say to Jesus out on the Sea of Galilee. That's not a bad reaction. We don't have to pretend that we like suffering. But our readings today are trying to give us a little bit different perspective. St. Luke in the Gospel, he gives us his version of what we call the Beatitudes, and they're a little counterintuitive. He's saying, blessed are you who are poor. Well, I don't know how many of us would say, I want to be poor. That would be great. God, please make me poor. No, we're much more like Fiddler on the Roof. If I were a rich man, we dream about that. No one dreams about, please make me poor, God. Or blessed are you who are hungry. Well, we need food. We don't want to go around being hungry all the time. We try to help those people who are hungry to make sure that they're not hungry. How can Jesus be telling us, blessed are the hungry? Or blessed are you who are weeping? Well, we're weeping, Jesus, because we're sad. I don't feel very happy right now. And blessed are you when people hate you? Well, that just sounds awful. And exclude and insult, denounce you. Those are all the things we desperately try to avoid in life. And yet Jesus is saying, blessed are you when these things happen? Here's the key distinction, I think. Notice Jesus is using the word blessed. Now, this is not the same as happy. Okay, we use the English kind of word happy, and it means we feel good. Okay, it feels good to have a nice house, to have a nice job, to not have to worry about things. It feels good to have good health, to have pleasure, and to have enough money and even more money than you need. Those things feel good. You could say, I'm happy. But happy is just kind of a fleeting feeling. Jesus is offering us something better than happy. He's offering us blessed. The word in Latin is beatitude. Some words we get the name beatitudes for these. Blessed. Why is it that Jesus can say that we're blessed if we seem to be sad? Because I think we could say to be despised and hated by everyone, well, that would make us sad. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to feel good. But Jesus is actually asking us, consider that he knows the whole story. He knows exactly where we're at now. And he knows that maybe we're not very happy where we're at now. But he also knows where we're headed. And that's the thing. Beatitudes, to be blessed, that very word refers to what we're all destined for. To see God face to face forever in heaven. We call that vision of God in heaven the beatific vision. Literally the vision of beatitude, blessedness. So if you understand that your life is really not ordered toward be happy all the time, but toward blessedness, now we can start to see the change of seasons in our life as context for the greater story that God is doing. So, okay, I lost my job now, but maybe that's because God knows that that's not the right job. I've got something else I want you to do. Or maybe, you know, this person is suffering going through this moment, but maybe that will be the very thing that turns their faith deeper to God. And what we do know is that our God is trustworthy and he works everything for good, even the things that make us sad and unhappy. If we know that we can trust God, then even in the midst of great suffering, we can say, I'm blessed. Blessed are you. Notice that the prophet in the first reading says, cursed is everyone who trusts in men. And let's just add all of created things to that. If you trust in the things of this world to make you happy, or trust that if you just get right into the good mix of job and money and relationships, if you just maximize that, you'll be happy. Jesus is saying, no, cursed are you if everything seems to be handed to you and everything's going well all the time. Cursed, because then you start to rely on this world. You trust in this world and the things of this world, and they can be gone like that. And you've built your house on a foundation of sand. But the prophet tells us, no, blessed are you. Blessed is the one who trusts in God. Because that's the secret. If you trust in God, and you know that he is our Father who loves us and only wants good for us and only brings good, even out of the greatest suffering, if you have that kind of trust, then you can go through these down times, knowing that they're just down times. It won't always be that way. If you're in the valley, trust in God, and you'll be on the top again, even if it takes until the end of life. This is why it is truly blessed then to say to these people who are poor, are you poor? Blessed are you. Why? Because woe to those who are rich. Woe, not that riches are bad, but danger to those who are rich might be a better way to say it. Danger, watch out, because if you are completely satisfied with the riches of this world, there is danger that you will not look to God and trust in Him and know how much you are really dependent. That's why Jesus is able to say, woe if everything is good now. Woe if everyone speaks well of you. Why? Well, because if we spend our life trying to chase reputation, I'm going to do whatever I can so people esteem me, think well of me. Well, we'll miss the times that God is asking us to do something that is going to cause ridicule. I mean, if we stand up for our Catholic faith in a culture that is becoming less and less Catholic every day, people are not going to speak well of us. And if people who are doing all kinds of evil things in the world do speak well of us, well, now we see, woe to you. This is how they treated false prophets. So we've got to trust ultimately not in, will this make me happy? Will that not make me happy? Do I feel good today? Do I not feel good today? Forget all that. If you worry about that, woe to you, because you'll be up and down and all over the place. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed are you if even in the midst of all these difficulties and struggles, you know that there's an end to the story that God is writing and it's good. Well, then you can be blessed even in the midst of incredible difficulty. So today, as we bring a gift of ourselves to this altar, offer to God, there are things to be thankful for. Bless God for things that are good. It's not wrong to be happy. If you're happy because things are going great, if you're happy because you're a kid and you like snow and you're going to go build a snowman, praise God for snowmen. But if things are not going so well, blessed are you if even in the midst of that, you can say, praise God. You know, not everything is going the way I wanted, but I know where this story ends. It's not the cross. It's Easter Sunday. If you know that, if you've got that kind of trust in God, even in the midst of the greatest difficulties and sufferings, well, blessed are you.